Yeah, unfortunately, the others couldn't make it here today. This project, again, is a basic project, a psychological study, that looks at something that came up many times in discussion today, and that is the ability of people to handle the fine semantic nuances of words. And, of course, the inability to handle those nuances in critical situations like obtaining informed consent or giving bad news might have negative consequences, upsetting the patient, getting the wrong information, and so on. So this sort of question has hardly ever been studied directly in a healthcare context or with the idea of healthcare communication. And so this is a bit of a pioneering study in the sense that we're trying here to see if we can develop a technique for assessing the ability of somebody to process these semantic nuances. So as I mentioned, these abilities might be really important in handling risk assessment, conveying bad news, and so on. And ultimately, the target population that we'll be interested in will be healthcare professionals and their training to see if we can identify areas of semantic processing that need to be focused on in their training. And some of the techniques that we heard about earlier might be useful for getting at this. In this study, we looked at what are called epistemic adverbs, because these, we think, provide a potential semantic barrier when used in the second language. Epistemic adverbs are adverbs like probably, supposedly, etc. And these are interesting words because they, first of all, they are used when one talks about uncertain things in the future, such as when you are discussing risk assessment. Of course, these words all talk about the likelihood of something happening. It's probably this is going to happen. Definitely such and such will happen. But there's more to it than just the likelihood of something happening. These words actually also contain information about the speaker's relationship to the information. So if somebody says, definitely this medication will help, that gives a slightly different message from saying, reportedly, this medication will help. And you'd be much more confident with the first message than with the second message. Okay? So the question is, do people in the second language understand these or relate in some way to these semantic differences? These are subtle differences. There is a linguistic theory that we came across by Anna Verbitschka in a paper in 2006, which looks at what are called cultural scripts, different ways a culture might package all of these sorts of information into the way language is used. And she identified four dimensions that underlie epistemic adverbs. So we thought it would be interesting to see if we could find a way to measure a person's ability to understand these differences. So the goal of the study was to see whether first language speakers actually treat these four dimensions the way the theory says they should be treated. So we needed some, we want to get some validation, psychological validation for that theory. Secondly, we expected that second language speakers might not show as much agreement among each other about these semantic nuances because they don't know them as well as will first language speakers. And finally, we thought that second language speakers might have a different understanding of these words compared to first language speakers. So there are no methods in the literature right now that we know of for studying questions like this, so we had to invent our own. And we developed a questionnaire with elements like the one you see on the screen, where the participant sees a sentence. There's some funny misprints coming out there in the sentence. So they have to circle the appropriate number that conveys, in their view, whether they think this sentence, in this case here, whether the doctor actually is reporting information that's based on personal knowledge or some other source of knowledge. So there were questionnaires built on the 12 epistemic adverbs in English, another 12 in French, and each of these occurred in three different sentences, one sentence being positive in its nature, one negative, and one neutral. And they had There were four questionnaires because each of these combinations of adverb and valence was judged in the context of the first dimension, the second dimension, third and fourth dimension. And we also had the same cognitive fluency reaction time task that I mentioned in the previous study in this one too. So what we found was that, first of all, it turned out that our sample was very high in their second language ability. And this may have been a limitation of the study for our conclusions. The Anglophones were very strong in their second language, but they were weaker in second language than in the first, whereas the Francophones that we happened to get didn't show important differences between the first and second language. And we actually really need that variability in order to get results that we can interpret well. The L1 speakers, when people were judging sentences that were in their L1, they tended to show very high agreement in the way they judge those sentences. And there was also a significant interaction between the dimension factor and the valence factor. And what this shows us is that it supports the theory of Verbitska in the sense that it shows that there can be differences across the different dimensions, and valence, that is how important a sentence is an important consideration to keep in mind when doing a study like this. So initially we thought maybe it didn't matter how important the information was in the sentence, that any sentence would do, but it turns out that's not the case. We thought there would be second language variability in handling these adverbs. There wasn't by the measures that we looked at so far, but we have to think about how we might look at this in a future study. And there weren't as many differences between L1 and L2 as we had thought there might be, but again, this might be reflecting the fact that these bilinguals were in fact very, very skilled in their second language. So what we need to do is get a more diverse sample of participants. We do have encouraging evidence that the message valence is important, and that means that we're probably on the right track in terms of how to understand the underlying psychological dimensions of these adverbs, but we need a different way to get that information from our participants. And probably what we need to do is have a more implicit task rather than a direct one using a questionnaire as we had done. So I've listed some of these ideas here, and eventually we want to develop a version of a task that can measure a person's ability to process these subtle nuances and use this with health professional participants. And to look at, of course, beyond epistemic adverbs, to look at other categories of semantics. And eventually, we hope that this will then be able to shape some of the training instructional modules for second language to target the kinds of semantic nuances that are important for some of the speech acts that you heard others talking about. Again, thank you very much.
Thank you, Norman. And this last brace of presentations, these two presentations, I think illustrate nicely what I was describing earlier as the relationship between fundamental research and applied research, because they're sort of dealing with similar issues, but one of them is clearly more basic in terms of research, and one of them is going toward the application. So this tells us that in theory it works in practice, and in practice it works in theory. So we are going to take a break now because we have some time. We have some time at the end for closing, and I'm going to reserve some of that for questions for the afternoon because the afternoon sections are more crowded with presentations, and so we have less time for questions, but we do have that bank of time at the end. So I'll release you for your break now, 10 minutes, and let's be back here at 2:10 to continue hearing about these wonderful projects.